Now, we will endeavor to cover these seven steps, get into seven steps, unless the Lord changes again. Praise God. We're always open to Him. Amen. So we are going to talk about what we meant to talk about last week, but the Lord had us focus on getting in faith and staying in faith, praying in faith, getting in faith and praying in faith. That was the emphasis last week. And then today we're going to talk about the seven steps to answer prayer. So as you've gotten in faith and now begin to pray in faith, it's a faith process. Everybody say it's a faith process. So let's begin with our opening scriptures here. In John 15:7, it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." And Ephesians 6:18, he says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." So we're supposed to pray about everything. Isn't that right? And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, New Living Translation says, "Never stop praying." Never stop praying. So we asked ourselves the question, what is prayer? And again, we're to measure our prayer life. Get stirred up in praying more efficiently and effectively. We said that prayer, learning how to pray, is more important than the college education. It's as a suggestion. So it's more important to learn how to talk to God, how to communicate with God, more importantly than to get a college degree, as we suggest to you. So prayer is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Prayer is man giving heaven earthly license to influence earth. So you bring God in on the scene in your particular personal situation in life. Prayer is exercising His legal authority on the earth to invoke heaven's influence on the planet. So us as Christian believers, a sister in the Lord, brother in the Lord, a child of God, exercising our legal authority, because we've been given legal authority. The authority that Adam had has been restored back to us, and it's our privilege and our right to exercise dominion. Everybody say dominion. Dominion on the earth. Now, we cannot do that without prayer. You cannot do that without prayer, because God wants His will to be done on earth as it is, where? In heaven. Praise God. And we said prayer is proof that you trust God. Prayer is proof that you trust God. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways," what? "Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." So think about it. This last week, how many times did you acknowledge the Lord? Now, we said do it in the small things and the big things, the small decisions and the big decisions of your life. Talk to the Lord about what you're going to wear. Amen. He'll help you sort through the 50 different wardrobes you have and pick the right one so you don't waste a whole bunch of time trying to sort through what you're going to wear. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Talk to Him about the job that you're going to get if you're in a job-seeking situation. Lord, what's the job for me? And He'll put it in your heart. Amen. Praise God. He has a place and He has a plan for every one of our lives. Praise God. We know Jeremiah 29:11. We've been reading through Jeremiah a little bit this week, and we know that, you know, we haven't got to the 29th verse chapter yet, but you know, 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts." So God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan. Now, God is a planner. This is a little side note. Planning is winning. God planned everything ahead. He planned everything ahead for you and I. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And so you just got to ask him what the plan. He knows what the plan is. He knows what the best plan to build a doghouse, best plan to raise your child, best plan to deal with the situation that you may be perhaps in. He is a planner, and planning is winning. He wrote his plan out in 66 books and said, this is my plan from the beginning. He gave Paul the revelation of this ultimate plan of God. Now look at this. Turn your Bible to Psalms 139. Listen to this. Verse 14. Psalms 139, verse 14. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, everybody say thy book, all my members were written in thy book. God has a book. He has a book about each and every one of us, with which the continents were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Everybody say thy book. So God has things in his book he already wrote. In other words, let's just put it down in plain 2017 terminology. God made you spiritually first before you were procreated physically on the earth. He knew you spiritually first. So he knew everybody that was going to be born before they were born. Because that's how God operates. He operates spiritually. And he did everything first in the spirit. So he's seen the end from the beginning. So he saw your life from start to finish on the earth. And he wrote a book about you. But in his book is his plan and purpose for your life. So he's got a book personally written for every single individual in this room. Isn't that wonderful? And so, God, your book says this about me. He wrote good things about you. He has a love story written already about your life. David got a glimpse of it. He said, written in thy book of me. Amen. Everybody say, God has a plan. So you and I, friends, are supposed to trust the Lord with all our heart. Don't lean to what we think it ought to be. Amen. Don't lean to what our plans are made up of without God. Make your plans with God. You make your plans with God by, in all your ways, acknowledging him. And he will do what? Direct your path. In other words, he'll give you step by step how to walk it out and how to work it out. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. Amen. You just got to follow his plan. And so we said prayer is the expression of man's relationship with God and a participation in his purposes. It's simply having a conversation and communicating with God and allowing these conversations to have a priority place in your daily life. Amen. As a Christian believers. So we must pray, we said, which in a way that embodies the principles God has given us in his word. And Proverbs 19, 21, 22 tells us, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. So God's will is our authority in our prayer. We said God's word and his will are synonymous. So there is the general will of God in the word of God. The general will of God is contained in the word of God. The specific will, the tailor-made will, is in the spirit of God. You should be led first by the word, the general will of God, and then the specificity and the specifics of your life is by the spirit of God. Romans 8:14 tells us, those that are led by the spirit of God are the sons of God. He'll tell you where to work. That's not in the Bible. You can't find where to work in the Bible. In a sense, in a general sense, you can. But in a specific sense, you can't, because there's no specific places of employment listed in the Bible. But you can get that from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your specific family situation is generally in the Bible, but the specific details of it may have to be followed out through the Holy Spirit. So you have to pray in line in line with the will of God. God's will is your authority in prayers. Shall I do this? Now, classic examples when David was at Ziklag over in Kings and Samuel. He was at Ziklag, and they lost everything. They lost their house. They lost houses. They lost their wives and children got captured. Their animals and all their stuff got taken. And all the guys showed back up from coming to war, and they were crying and screaming. Now, how many of you know bad things happen to good people? Jesus said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers what? Them out of them all. Amen? St. John 16:33. In this world you shall have what? Tribulation. That means trouble, trial, tests. In other words, it's like if you have a pet or an animal, you understand this. They are usually pretty friendly because we got, you know, cat and dog in the house. But anyway, we won't go through that. But in any situation, you know, you can play with that cat or play with the dog or, you know. But if they feel threatened and you back them in a corner, now my sons will tell you, they'll start barking. They'll start going out, growling and getting upset or raising their back up. They feel like they're back in the corner. Well, that's what tribulation is. That's what the devil brings, tribulation. He tries to back you into a corner. He got you in the back in the corner financially. But he said, be of good cheer. Amen? I've overcome the world. Somebody say, glory to God. So be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tests. So in other words, in Ziklag, going back to the story with David, everybody was crying and weeping, and they had no power to weep, the Bible says, and they were all discouraged because they lost everything. Anybody ever been discouraged? We've all been there sometimes. We've touched that ground sometimes. But he didn't stay there. David inquired of the Lord. David prayed to God, not for the general will, because he knew this is not good, so it's not God. Listen, are you listening to me? If this is not good, so it's not God. This is not God's best. But he prayed and said, Lord, what would you have us to do? Shall we pursue? And will we overtake? And God responded to his prayer inquiry or prayer request. And he said, pursue, you will surely overtake and recover all. So he said, I got my answer. Let's get going. And he did. He recovered everything that he lost. That's the way you and I should have conversation with God. This has happened, Lord. You don't worry about it. You don't cry and bellyache and complain about it. This is what happened, Lord. What would you have me to do about this? How would you want me to pray about this? Because every failure is a prayer failure. You didn't pray right, or you didn't pray at all. So learning how to pray is so important and critical in our respective lives. Amen? So, yeah, you might can talk about it just briefly, only in a position to hear God and talk to God about it. What do you want me to do about this? And David, every time he inquired of the Lord. And that's what we want and desire that each and every one of us would get stirred up to do. In every corner of life, every turn in life, every ditch in life, every mountain in life, you're praying first. You're praying first. Hallelujah. And your brothers and sisters help you. They say, did you pray about it? What did the Lord say? We shouldn't even utter too many sentences without saying, this is what I believe I have in my heart from the Lord. Amen. Not a hoping and a wishing, but assurance. This is what the Word of God says, or this is what the Word of the Lord comes to me and says. Amen. Because we said all that God has, all that God is, and all that God will ever be may be received through prayer. Now, that puts no limits on prayer. Everyone in this room has the potential to pray heaven down. Heaven's best down in your house, in your family, in your relationships, in your career endeavors, in your business, whatever case may be. You can pray heaven down, ladies and gentlemen, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we must learn the importance of the Word of God and the name of Jesus in our prayer lives and pray in line with what God says in His Word. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He does what? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So we should be ramping up our petitions, our prayer petitions. We should have them going all the time. The main thing we suggested to you is that you should be praying for wisdom every day. This is something you don't stop asking for. Because you need fresh wisdom today, and then tomorrow you're going to need wisdom. Amen? And then the next day, Tuesday, you're going to need wisdom. Amen? And if you start wiggle-wagging and fence-riding and thinking, well, I can't come to church because I don't feel good, you need to be asking for strength pretty often. If you're physically infirmed or going through a physical challenge, you need to be asking for strength a lot. What? Spiritual strength. Because people want to feel good, but the Bible says in Proverbs, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. That's Amplified Version. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. So you press through your pain. In other words, you press through your problem when you have spiritual strength and stamina. You don't have that, I'm quitting, or I don't feel good, I'm going to lay down, I'm not going to go today, because your flesh will always talk you out of doing the will of God. The devil will always pressure your mind from not obeying the plan and purpose of God. So you got to have a strong spirit. Everybody say a strong spirit. Your spirit doesn't get strong because you just want to be strong. The Bible says in Psalms 27:1, the Lord is the strength of my life. Psalms 46:1, God is my refuge and my strength. Who's my strength? God is. Amen. Strength right out of heaven. Injected into my inner man. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amplified says, draw your strength from your union with Christ. That same strength which His boundless might provides. Whoo, glory to God. That means you draw in strength from another source. You're not trying to muscle up something or manufacture something on your own. You are drawing strength from God. Isaiah 40 said, He gives power to the faint. Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He does what? He increases their strength. So you wrap your faith around the strength of God. But why? Because you need strength to do the will of God. You need strength to walk in the spirit, spiritual things and truths of God. You need strength to practice the truth of God's word in your everyday life. Because the pressure's on your flesh and on your mind to not do it, to not be spiritual, to act like everybody else at work. They don't even know you pray. They don't even know you pray. They don't even know you got a prayer life because they don't see it. They don't see the power. We often said, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little proud. Y'all know the phrase. Much prayer, they ought to see your power. they come in. I mean, I was at a meeting last week in Atlanta, a corporate office, and I was in a meeting, and somebody walled off and did something crazy, said some bad words in the meeting, and they all shuddered and stopped, and then one other person spoke up and said, that's a man of God over there talking like that. And I said, I didn't even have to say anything. But they know the presence of God. And somebody came to me afterward and talked to me about, I know you're a man of faith, so I'm going to share this with you. Well, you ain't got to always share everything, but you just show it. Amen. You show it. Praise God. So let's write these seven steps down. Then we're going to go through each one. So write 1 through 7, steps or processes. So write step 1 through 7. Leave a little space if you just in case you want to put something in between them underneath. But I'm going to give you all 7, then we're going to go back through them. All right, step number 1 is decide what you want from God. Step number 1, decide what you want from God. Number 2, read scriptures that promise you the answer you need. Read scriptures that promise you the answer you need. Step number 3. Ask God for the things you want. Ask God for the things you want. Step number 4. Believe that you receive. Step number 5. Well, step number 4 again. Believe that you receive. Step number 5, refuse to doubt. Refuse to doubt. Step number 6, meditate on the promises. In other words, meditate on the answer. Step number 6 again, meditate on the promises. And step number 7, give God the praise. Step number 7, give God the praise. All right, so let's go back to step number 1. Decide what you want from God. Now, Joel 3:14 says, multitude, multitude in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is in the near the valley of decision. James 1:6-8 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. In other words, he's saying to us, an indecisive man. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Indecisive. The scriptures we read just shows us the importance of decisiveness. James tells us clearly that if you waver, you can't, in other words, you can't make up your mind what you want. You can't make a decision because, see, brother, people have faith, but they can't make a decision. So some people will hear faith because faith comes by hearing, but they can't make a decision to step out in faith. They're still stuck in a boat. God and solicits you and says, ask me, and I will give thee the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth provide thy possession. Well, he solicits you and says, ask me, and you don't even ask because you don't step out. You can't make a decision. You got to open your mouth and ask. You got to step out of the boat and make some bold prayers. Don't tolerate the same old normal scenario. Ask. Amen. He said he can't make up his mind. He's unstable. And he can't expect to receive anything from the Lord. I said, well, okay, I prayed about it. Well, then if you had to keep praying about it, then you hadn't prayed about it. In other words, you decided to pray about it, and then you decided to undo that prayer. Then you decided to pray about it again. Then you decided to undo your prayer. You're double-minded. Double-minded because you had double vision and you have double talk. Double confession, and nothing works because it usually leads to double trouble. Well, let's keep going. Too often, we are indefinite in our praying. Of course there's a kind of prayer that just worship God and fellowship with God. Of course there's prayer, but there's also the need where we need to focus on getting results. We're praying the prayer of faith, or as we said before, the praying the prayer of agreement, to change something or to get something. We have to be specific. You have to decide, what do you want? And usually that's measured by your faith level. What can you believe for? Amen. Amen. Let's just say you go through H-E-B, Walmart, and you decide, you have to decide what? What eggs am I going to get? The Hill Country Farm, the H-E-B specials, the organic kind. Come on now. Brown eggs, white eggs. Large, extra large, medium eggs. Right? You have to decide what's milk. I'm going to go whole milk. I'm going to go fat, you know, 2%. Or fat-free milk, skim milk. Come on now. They even got almond milk. Right? You have to make a decision, right? Everybody say, I have faith, but I got to make a decision. So as you get, remember last week's lesson, tied into last week's teaching, get in faith and then get ready to pray in faith. But faith begins, you might want to write this down, faith begins with a firm, decided choice. Now, one of the firm, decided choices you make is what? I'm going to believe God and trust God for this need. Now, when you pray in faith, usually God is your source and he's your only source. You don't look to people because that's just indication you're double-minded. If you pray to God and look around at people, then you're not trusting God. Come on now. God has to be your source and your only source. Faith begins with a firm, decided choice. So in other words, when you want, if you decide to cook a meal, you got to decide, what are we going to have for dinner? You can't just throw the whole freezer out and thaw it out, right? And you might have some spoiled meat in a few hours. Y'all get what I'm talking about, right? One of the definitions of decision is the state of cutting off. Now listen, friends, listen to me real closely, because this is quality decisions have to be made first in your heart, not just with your head. Now I know you reason with your head, but as a believer, you must decide with your heart. Remember, faith begins with a firm, decided choice. Faith also begins where the will of God is known. In other words, that's a heart thing, not just a head thing. Because if you just do head, you'll have head faith, and you'll get wavery and double-minded. But it's a heart thing. Faith is of the heart. You have to decide with your spirit. That means you have to value God's way of doing things more so than your way of doing things. God's way of changing and getting things, not your way of getting and changing. See, because everybody in here got game. We just turn our flesh loose. We can show you how to get stuff through manipulation and muscle. We muscle it or we manipulate it. I know, Lord. Hallelujah. But you gotta play God's game. That means you gotta humble yourself and pray and say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm not gonna touch it in my thought life. I'm not gonna try to manipulate it or try to muscle it. I'm gonna be motivated by faith and love for you and trusting you to get it. Amen. And I let him do his deal. I'm deciding to believe God. If it's finances, if it's a healing or whatever, you're my source. You're my only source. Amen? That means you cut off everything else. That's a decision to cut everything else off. So I'm not trusting in my people that I see or things that I have currently in my possession. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting your word. I'm putting my faith firmly planted on the promise of your word. I make that quality decision with my spirit and my mind. Spirit first, right? Because you have to value and esteem the word of God above every other word. Particularly if you're in a court situation, a legal situation, you got to put God's word up there. Amen? You can't be putting what the court said or what the judge said or what the lawyers threatened to say. Does that make sense? You got to put the word of God up there. The word God, you said. I'm trusting you more than what I trust, what I see and feel and hear with my natural mind, natural ears. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make a decision. Don't just throw out a Hail Mary and say, God, I need help. Well, there's sometimes you might have to say something like that, but I'm just saying, be specific. Amen. All right. Decide what you want for God and be definite about it. Step two, read the scriptures. So you gotta feed the Bible and just don't read it. We said read, as always, read out loud. Because why? You gotta get in faith and you gotta pray from a platform and a position of faith, a position of expectancy, a position of I believe I will receive when I pray. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire, Mark 11:24, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That means you got to be in a believing posture and a receiving posture when you pray. Amen? This book of the law, Acts 1:8, shall not depart out from out of your mouth, but shall be meditated in day and night. Everybody say meditate. Now notice he said depart out of your, it didn't say depart out of your heart, it said depart out of your what? Mouth. That means you got to give your mouth-to-mouth resuscitation with the word of God. You got to put your God's word in your what? Mouth. It has to get in your mouth to get into your heart. That means you got faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. You got to hear the word. The quickest person you believe is yourself. That means you got to read the word out loud to yourself. And what we call that is you school yourself into faith by reading the word out loud, chewing on those scriptures, feeding the Bible, not just reading the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mouth out of your mouth. Meditate day and night. You may observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In other words, when you put the word in your mouth, it gets in your heart, and then you begin to see how to do it. See how to pray it. See how to say it. See how to work it. You're chewing on it like a cow chews cud. Like our one brother chewing gum back there. You're chewing on it. You chew it. Everybody say chew it. You chew the word of God. Hallelujah. Y'all don't know who I'm talking about. So. Hallelujah. It's not a bad thing. He didn't do anything wrong. He's not doing don't. Don't be embarrassing. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. It was just gave me a visual of what chewing is. So use it as the illustration, brother. Thank you. All right. You got to feed on the word of God. So why do you do that? Why do you got to do it? Because you got to get the word in your heart, because the devil is coming to take faith out of your life. Once you said in Jesus' name, amen, that same scripture you've been feeding on and reading, now you have to use against him when he comes and try to mess up your mind and get you to undo your prayer. Amen? Let's look at Luke 4. I'm going to read a little bit of this. Amen. Y'all getting something out of this? All right. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 4. We see Jesus' temptation of Satan by Satan in the wilderness. I'm just going to skip down, start at verse 3 and then 4. The devil taking him up and said, if thou wilt be son of God, then command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him. Now notice Jesus answered the devil, what do you and I have to do? Now devil, doubt, fear, all based in the devil's works. Condemnation has to be answered. You got to answer that doubt. And Jesus said, what? It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then the devil taking him up on the high mountain and showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is what? Written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. And he brought him into Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he will give his angels charge of thee and to keep thee in their hands, lest they bear they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, so anybody getting the clue? It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. So there's several things we can learn from here, but I want to give you some just real good tips here. Never use the word of God for personal advantage, because you can't manipulate God. God only moves based on the authenticity of his word. Never associate with wicked people to attain the attainment of a good end. And never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. So the devil is trying to get Jesus to perform that last temptation, perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going through. The devil's beating me up, and I'm having all these trouble. And we act prideful about the problem, the pain, the pressure. We're supposed to be resisting the devil. You should be answering back to the devil. You should be talking back to the devil. You should be saying, Satan, Mr. Devil, it is written. Because the thoughts of doubt have to be answered. The thoughts of fear have to be resisted and replaced. Amen? So if the scriptures are firmly planted in your heart, you're prepared for the attack of the devil. If they're not in your heart, then the devil will have his way with you, typically. Amen? The reason people don't pray with confidence is because they don't know the scriptures well enough to know that what they're praying for is the will of God. They're praying in hope and wish and not in faith. That's why you have to read the scriptures that promise you the answer you need. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to get the word in your heart, get it in through your mouth, get it in your heart, and then be able to establish your heart in faith so that you have confidence when you pray and ask God for it, that this belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. Come on now. Provision and my needs being met belongs to me. Lord, you said you are my helper. And then step three, you ask God for what the things you want. We know Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it shall be what? Given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Matthew 21:22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. See, even though your Heavenly Father knows what you have, your needs, he wants you to bring them to him and ask him for them. Ask him for his help. Amen. And we said John Wesley earlier, it's good to quote him again. It says, God, it seems as though God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. How much did you ask God for his help and for his supply this past week? You don't have to answer that, but think about it. Did I include God or did I exclude God? How much did I talk to God about what I want? And then if you got open prayer requests, they should be still on your list and that you're thanking God for. Everybody in his room should have a prayer list, a prayer journal, so to speak, that where you've written down requests that go to the Lord. I said, God, I'm standing on this. I'm thanking you for this. Now, step number four, believe that you receive. We just quoted it earlier, but we'll read the scripture again. Mark 11, 23, 24. For assuredly I say unto you, that whatsoever whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Amplified says in verse 24, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. So we got to understand this concept. There's two kinds of truth. There's sense knowledge truth and revelation truth. Sense knowledge truth and revelation truth. Some truth pertains to things you can see with your physical eye, touch with your physical hands, but you cannot see the things of the Spirit. They're not flesh and they're not material. But that's where the Word of God is. Everything, listen to this very powerful statement, everything you and I need is provided for us in the spiritual realm. Everything. You can just catalog through your mind, oh, I need this. Does God? He's already provided for it. It's provided for you in the spiritual realm. How do you get it? Everybody say, by faith. By faith. Like we pulled out a dollar bill. If I pull out a $20 bill here, on it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. On that, right here, right where my finger is pointing. Right down here. Well, what is faith? Faith is legal tender in the realm of the Spirit. You can't give God money, but you give God your faith in Him and in His Word. And that's how you procure, purchase, or appropriate what He has promised already for you. Because you're not an heir apparent of God, you're an heir of God. An heir apparent is waiting for somebody to die and leave you an inheritance. But you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. That means everything God has now belongs to you and can be received by faith in prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So everything you need, friends, everything I need, everything we need for is provided for us in the spiritual realm. So what do you need? What does your family need? What is your financial need? What is your future need? What is your need? Now, we're talking mainly individual praying and individual believing. Prayer of faith, prayer of agreement, or somebody agreeing with you. Corporate prayer plays by different rules, so we're not talking about corporate prayer. We're talking about individual praying. Now, if you're in a family, you should be agreeing praying. Amen. Prayer agreement. So, we've been blessed, Ephesians 1:3, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, the spiritual realm overrides, oversees, and overruns the natural realm. So your faith goes up into that realm, pulls down what you need, and creates it in reality in your life naturally and physically. Hallelujah. You got to get that. You got to get that because your faith should be active in procuring or appropriating the promises of God. Because they're all in advance. Yes and amen. So be it. That means whatever God says in His Word, what He promises, it belongs to you. You are, and you have an inheritance in Christ, which is all His exceeding great and precious promises. So that, what that mean? That means healing belongs to you, prosperity belongs to you. Come on now, family peace belongs to you, success belongs to you. Come on now, wealth and riches should be in your house. Praise God, hallelujah. But see, the devil tries to talk you out of it, friends. The biggest thing he does is get you to walk down that ugly, slimy road of sin, being sinful in your prayerless life. Because in some cases, it's a sin not to pray for people. The Bible talks about it. Amen. Not praying is not good. Especially when God says pray. Never stop praying. You always should pray and not faint. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, all right, so step five, we're almost done. Refuse to doubt. Now here's the rub, because the doubt comes in. Do you think you ever get the answer? No, you have to refuse doubt, you have to resist doubt, and you have to replace doubt with faith. Because doubt is fear-based. And you have to resist it just like you're resisting sin or resisting Satan himself. You have to refuse to doubt. How do? You submit to God, you resist the devil, and you refuse. Doubts is of the devil, because sin, Satan, and sickness are synonymous. Doubt is of the devil. You have to resist it, just like you resist the devil. So that means you have to eradicate every image, suggestion, feeling, or thought that does not contribute to your faith. You have to concentrate on the things that contribute to your confession or what you need from God. Amen? Because your thoughts are governed by what? Observation, association, and teachings. So you can get pumped up in church, and you go home to your house, and the devil tries to smack you in the face right there at the house. You got to resist the devil at your house. Amen? You can't have me running around to all your houses trying to help you resist doubt. You got to resist doubt. Hallelujah. So that means you got to eradicate the image. Everybody say image. Amen. What's the image is? Because if you have a low self-image, you say, well, I'm not worthy enough to get that. You think I'm not worthy to get healed. When healing belongs to you, Jesus' stripes have been. He took 39 stripes so that you can be healed, and you refuse healing? You tolerate sickness? You got somebody that's going crazy in your family, perhaps a family member, maybe perhaps a child, grandchild, parent even, gone crazy, gone off the reservation a little bit. Well, you should be believing God for their restoration and recovery. Don't talk about your children. Don't talk about your grandchild. Don't talk about your parents. Don't talk about whoever's went off. Come on now. You trust God. God, you said, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be saved in my whole household. So that includes all my immediate family and extended family. You can stretch out your faith to your second and third cousin if you want to. So don't be talking about Pookie and Ray Ray and them and how all bad they are. They bad tail. I'm going to stay away from them. No, no, no. You stay in God's face in prayer, standing on the word of God, standing on the promises of God. Somebody say glory to God. And refuse to doubt that they'll be saved. Refuse to doubt that they'll ever come to the Lord. Amen. I don't care how bad that child is. Refuse to doubt. Resist it. Eradicate the image. Eradicate the thoughts and feelings and suggestions that the devil brings to tear up your faith, to shake up your faith. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen right now. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8 tells us what to think on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What do we meditate on? Things that are praiseworthy, things that bring glory to God, things that are truth from God's word. Amen. We meditate on the good things. We don't meditate on the bad news. We don't meditate on the drama. I know we like to talk about it. We like to post about it. We like to speak about it on social media. Don't post the drama. Don't meditate on the drama. Meditate on the word of God. Think about the word of God. Somebody say glory to God. And then meditate on the promises. We just transition right into that. Proverbs 4:20. Through 22, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your hearts, for they are life unto those that find them, and health and medicine to all your flesh. Whew, glory to God. So you should meditate constantly on the promises that you base your answer on in prayer. keep it before your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Pay attention to what God's word says. Not what's going on out here, all the drama and the bad news or the difficulty. You keep your face and your attention and your focus on the word of God. Glory to God. I didn't say it was going to be easy, because the devil will throw circumstantial resistance at you or use unwitting people to come in and draw your attention away from the word to a distraction. And they'll throw you off course because they're always trying to grab and pull your eyes off of the word and your focus off the will of plan of God and put you out there looking at something else. And we said, you know what distractions are. The destruction of your dream of that answer to prayer in slow motion. The devil's just trying to use somebody or something to nullify and neutralize that prayer request. Because he knows that answered prayer is your guarantee as a believer. When you ask, you will receive. That your joy of heaven. When you seek, you will find. When you knock, it will be open. For everybody that asks receives. Come on now. Everybody that seeks finds. Everybody that knocks, the doors will be open. Come on now. Everything you ask in prayer, there's no limit to God. The only limitations is the ones we place on God. And if we don't stand by the word of God, God can't stand by us. So if you break your focus off the word of God, if you break your focus off the promises of God, if you don't stay laser focused on God's promise and God's word, then he can't stand by you. Because he's saying, you're looking at something else. You're looking at someone else. You're not looking at me. You're not looking at what I said and what I promised. You're looking at something else. You're looking at your daddy. You're looking at your mama. You're looking at what they're not doing and what they should be doing and what they're supposed to be doing and what they're not doing and how they failed that child or how their finances didn't come through or how you ain't got no more money at the end of the month and so forth and so on. You're looking at all the circumstances and you're not looking at the word. Amen. He wants to stand by you, friends. But he can't if you depart from his word. That's why you got to meditate on the promises. Even after you prayed the promises, even after you prayed and got the petition done in Jesus' name, you got to keep your eyes and your heart locked in. Locked in on the word. Praise God. The only way God's word works through is through his word. He moves in line with his word. He magnifies his word above all his name. He told us, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You got to keep the word. You have to see yourself with the answer on the inside. See yourself with the answer. Now, last one, praise God. Give God the praise. We know Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. He said, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. So this verse tells us that it's with thanksgiving. This comes after praying about the matter. We thank God for the answer after we pray. We don't see it, but it's a faith act. We thank God for it. Kenneth E. Hagin, when he was healed of that sickness, he prayed Mark 11:24, and he said the Holy Spirit shifted him and told him the next step is, he said, if you believe that you receive, you would thank me for it. The same thing it is for you and I today. If you believe that you receive that answer to your prayers, you would thank God for it. You don't just sit there and say, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You got to keep the switch of faith on by thanking and praising God for the answer. Hallelujah. You thank and praise God. Hallelujah. And so you lift your heart continually. And so without anybody teaching him, he's 17 years old. Hadn't walked in 18 months. He said he lifted both hands. sitting on the side of his bed and began to thank and praise God. He said, I believe that I receive. I thank you, Father. I believe that I receive healing, my healing of my deformed heart. I have a good heart. He said, I believe I receive my healing of my three incurable blood diseases. I believe I receive my healing. I thank you for, and I thank you for, receive my healing for my partial paralysis, my leg. He never felt his legs in 18 months. He couldn't walk. He's bedfast. And he said, I believe I receive from, he said, just in case I didn't cover everything, I thank you, Father. I believe that I receive my healing from the top of my head to the toes of my feet. And then the anointing came. Then the power of God came. Come on now. And it hit him from the top of the head to the, and he felt that warm glow, as he said, like honey falling all over him. The healing power of God began to activate and work in his body. Amen. Thanksgiving's the key, friends. If you've already prayed about it, you should be thanking God for it. You should be pretty much an addicted Thanksgiver. An addicted Thanksgiver. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. How is your Thanksgiving life? Amen. Increasing praise should be your portion every day. So that's why we should be the most thankful bunch around. Amen. Make every prayer concerning your need a statement of faith and praise, not a statement of unbelief. And you can do this easily when you think thoughts of doubts and unbelief, when you just think, okay, I hope and I wish, and oh, I don't know if this thing gonna change. I don't know if it's gonna get better. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Said to me about this, and as I'm closing up, he said, many people don't pray at all, and they need to start praying. And many people are praying well beneath their privileges. That means you're praying just for survival. You only pray out of desperation. Amen. But see, you're supposed to get all your needs taken care of. So that means if either all your needs are taken care of and you're super busy, you should be super busy getting all your needs taken care of one by one with your prayer faith. And then once your needs get taken care of, you should be busy taking care of other people's needs in your sphere of influence. Now you extend to your job, your other family members. Come on, you start believing God for things that you can for them. And in agreement with them, your brothers and sisters across the aisle, across the street, across the globe. Amen. And then you start believing things for the kingdom. The prayer list of the church gets on your prayer list at home. And you start believing God for the church's needs. Perhaps you say, well, Lord, I'm really cooking financially. You know what I mean when I say cooking? You're cooking real good. You're cooking real good soup. And so let's say you push up over $200K a year or $250K a year. That's nothing for God to do to anybody in this room. Now don't start thinking about, oh, that's a lot of money. No, that's not a lot of money compared to the world's wealth. You start cooking over $250 and you get to a place where, well, I'm in real excess right now. And the Lord said, well, why don't you pay the church's rent for the next 3 months?
Hallelujah.
You believe God for that. You pay the church's utility bills for the next 3 months. Amen. You just say, Pastor, me and the Lord have it. We got it. We'll take care of it. But see, if you all covered up in needs and you ain't even praying about your own stuff, then I'm encouraging you to get going. Get busy. Get busy. Amen? Amen. Get busy. Amen. Andrew Murray says, it's not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. When you do, you pray again for something that hasn't materialized. You don't pray for it the same way because that would be unbelief. Remind God that you've asked him for what his word says, and tell him you're expecting it, and then thank him for it. Amen. Amen. So So too often people undo their prayers. They get into unbelief and stay there. And it's after, is as if they were spinning their wheels. Now again, what's the expectation? Everybody in this room is walking around with a bunch of testimonies of look what the Lord has done. Amen. You said, I had this prayer request. God met this need. God answered this prayer. God answered this prayer. Now, everybody should strive for 100% answered prayer. Because we know how to pray intelligently. We know how to pray scripturally according to the Word of God. We know how to get in faith and then pray in faith and then stay in faith until the answer fully manifests in our midst. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand. Hallelujah.